And equity, and also Yvonne for your response. You have been so collaborative with the mayor and me in working on these issues to figure out what goes where and how they interact. So that was very helpful, Commissioner Fish, that you explained about the issues with HR and some things that need to stay within those confines. And you also demonstrated what I have been hoping for with the equity office is that this is all of us. This is all five members of the council engaged in figuring out those questions of what goes where and how this works better so that we get to better outcomes for all. I particularly am interested in that we have overall 19.5% minorities and 31% women. I'm not sure what our population percentage of minorities, adult minorities, is in the city at this point, but I'm pretty sure that the population of women is close to 50%, if not higher. So clearly we have still some room to go in our work. And I want to recognize, Yvonne, that your work over many decades here in the city has greatly improved our performances and set us on the path where I believe this Office of Equity and Human Rights is going to be able to finally get us over the hump after decades or in some cases centuries of disparities here in the city of Portland. So thank you for your partnership. I thank Mayor Adams in absentia for appointing Kathleen to that Sadat to work with you. She has also been extremely helpful in educating me on the differences between those three components and also on how the city functions and how it can function better. So thank you very much for your work.
Thank you. This matter passes to a second reading. Sue, would you please call, would you please read council item number 71?
71, require an actual physical fitness test as the eligibility requirement for the Portland Police Bureau health and fitness pay premium.
Thank you. Before I recognize Commissioner Saltzman, I have had an opportunity to talk briefly with the city attorney's office and with Mayor Adams' office about this matter. And as my colleagues know, I was sick last week, but I first had a chance to review this resolution yesterday. Mayor Adams cannot be with us today. He is the commissioner in charge of the bureau that is most impacted. I am advised by the city attorney's office that the resolution raises some important legal issues, including may seek relief which is beyond the power of this body to grant or that would violate the law. And I wonder, because it doesn't appear to me to be time sensitive, although it's an important issue, do any of my colleagues oppose delaying consideration of this until Mayor Adams can join us and we can get some further briefings on the relief sought?
I would oppose that. I think we're ready to go.
Am I here from my other colleagues?
I'm fine either way.
It sounds like Commissioner Saltzman would like to air at least his concerns, but I do think it would be courteous to wait for the mayor to return before we vote on it.
So I am acting in his stead today, and will be guided by what my colleagues want to do. I guess let me amplify.
I guess I would just, in doing the counting here, I would add that if you wanted to actually have a formal vote to postpone it a week, I would support that.
My preference, based on what I've learned about this matter in 24 hours, and this matter I think is sufficiently important that it warrants a little more time, is that we would be better served by postponing it, but it would take three votes. I'm prepared to do that. Commissioner Fritz, I would invite your views on the question.
Can I add my views to
it? As long as, yes, I will vote to support delaying it for a week because I don't see anything particularly time sensitive in this, and I think it would be helpful to have the discussion with everybody here.
I would just say in defense of let's do it now, is this item involves really nothing to do with the commissioner in charge structure that so often we paralyze us acting as a city council. This is a labor agreement that was ratified by the entire city council. That's the issue here. So I don't think we need the commissioner in charge. Doesn't really can add a perspective, obviously, as another member of the council, but this deals with something that we approved and something that, you know, was very clear in the contract about fitness premiums being based on a physical agility test. And you know, I can read you the contract provision. It's very clear about a test to be offered one time per year. And it's gone through bizarro land, and what was a 1% premium for a select number of members has now become an entitlement for every member of the police union. So I think this is something we as the whole council, and there's four of us here today, are involved in up to our ears.
So I would just say in response to that that it depends on what the goal is of the resolution. If the goal of the resolution is to actually appropriately change how the police bureau is administering the physical fitness test, that's one thing. If the goal is actually to create a forum within which to argue a political point of view, that's quite another. As I understand Commissioner Fish's explanation in his conversations with the city attorney's office, it sounds to me as though what he is saying is what I suspected when I read the resolution, that while it makes for great public fodder, it is not a legal document with which, in the state of Oregon, with the collective bargaining laws we have, you can actually require and legally impose a change on the interpretation of the contract where you have two parties who have signed it.
The language.
I think that's key.
If
because
I can speak on behalf of my resolution.
Well, I'd just like to respond and have my turn to respond to what you said. You we're talking about a contract that the council voted to ratify. A contract is a contract. A promise is a promise. So we can discuss moving forward, but I agree with Commissioner Leonard that we can't unilaterally rescind it. And the second point is that the contract doesn't talk about a physical fitness test. It talks about a health and fitness test. So, and then it's a memorandum of agreement then specified what that means. So we can disagree on, and I think many of us do, on the principles of what the premium pay has been given for. The fact is the premium pay has been given for that, and we need to figure out how to move forward. So, and that, I think, requires the mayor to be here.
And if I may, since my comment is the triggering point, that the last resolve specifically says that the council rescinds a particular provision in the contract. So that caught my attention, Commissioner Leonard. That's what prompted my referral to the city attorney's office. And my understanding from the advice I got is that would subject us to both a breach of contract and or an unfair labor practice were we to unilaterally rescind. But I'll just make a broader point, and it's not to the merits of Commissioner Saltzman's resolution. I'm proposing we postpone discussion of the merits. He has every right to bring it. I think we can have a good discussion. It's not been our practice in this forum as a threshold matter to have discussions about our labor strategy. That's usually done in other settings. If there is a desire to modify our approach to this contract, then I would want a briefing by HR, by the police, by the commissioner in charge and the police chief himself, and by our legal team to understand what our options are and what the legal risks are of those options. And that, I believe, is my duty as a decision maker before I can engage any recommendation that comes before council. So what I'm suggesting in raising this issue is that if we do defer consideration until such time as we can get additional briefings and the mayor is present, I think it will be a more productive conversation.
So my resolution really speaks to exactly implementing what the contract says, and that is a physical fitness test, or a health and physical fitness test.
It doesn't say physical fitness. It says health and fitness test.
Okay, health and fitness test. Okay.
But that's different, Dan. You actually put quotation marks in your resolution around a phrase that does not appear in the contract. And again, I don't want to debate the merits of it because I think this is not the forum for us to go back and forth on. I think we need to be briefed on it, and we need to know what our options are. And it has not been our habit in labor relations to do that in this setting, particularly without the mayor.
Well, you know, I think one of the benefits of this job that we all have is, you know, we can wake up in the morning and be mad as hell about something. And that's how I am when I found out how this physical fitness test had been abused and become an entitlement rather than a premium, as represented to me by the chief of police. And the benefit of this job is you can be mad as hell about something, and yet I'm one of five people that can actually do something about that or try. And that's why I've introduced this resolution, because I am really mad how something that can be so clear in a contract can suddenly, as I said, go through a bizarro land, end up being an entitlement payment, not a physical fitness test, as was, you know, we were told by the chief and the HR director and the testimony, it was a fitness test, and I can read the testimony, to be administered once a year. And so, you know, I'm sure we can wait a week and we'll be all lost in legalese and collective bargaining lease, and, you know, we'll be confused and dazzled beyond. But, you know, I think it's time that sometimes we need to reach out and react as the public reacts.
I think I will entertain a
angry
motion
about this, and
I'll entertain a motion.
Well, before the motion, I mean, you're right. I mean, we're each human beings. We wake up and hear and read things and become mad as hell. But I find it particularly incumbent upon me, because I am one of the five members of the council, as you are, to make sure I don't make decisions based on being mad as hell, because I like to be right and not have something come back and bite me because I made a decision that was emotionally based. What you put forward here, I don't need a lot of briefing on, Dan. I'm not a lawyer, but I've negotiated a lot of contracts. I've been in front of the Employment Relations Board a number of times, and I've been in front of arbitrators a number of times. I have a pretty good record of winning, because the other side usually comes forward because they're mad as hell. And what you're doing here, while it may make good copy in the paper tomorrow, ends up putting the city in the position of not only have to comply with the contract, but pay the Portland Police Association's legal fees in addition to that. And I can give you examples here of where this has happened here before, and I gave this speech before, and we ended up doing just exactly what I predicted would happen. If you'd like those examples, I can give them here right now, and they can be included in the article tomorrow. But this is not a way to do the business of the city, to wake up mad as hell and file something that our legal team will tell us is not an appropriate venue within which to seek redress. HR will tell us that. I'm sure the Portland Police Association will tell us that. I'd rather be methodical and get to where you say you want to get in the appropriate way and have it stick, rather than do something that ends up not only having us having to agree to a fitness test that you don't agree with, but then it costs us money in addition to that by paying the other side's legal fees.
So if I could reclaim the time as the acting chair, I'll entertain a motion to defer consideration of this resolution until a date certain.
Next week or a date certain?
Is for someone to make the motion.
Commissioner Leonard is away next week.
What's the next?
The next week is February 1st. The mayor arrives at 10:30.
Okay.
So I'd move to postpone till February 1st after 10:30 a.m.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Council discussion?
Well, I will oppose the motion because, you know, if everybody thinks I'm just being totally irrational, then all I'm asking for you is to indulge me for 10 minutes. We have all the key players in the audience who can try to explain to me how we ended up from premium pay to an entitlement that's going to cost us more money and is totally inconsistent with what was originally presented to us. I mean, they're all here. They can shed some light. You know, like I said, I am mad as hell. I'm not even sure who to be mad at, though, but I am mad as hell. And I think citizens are mad as hell about this as well. So you can indulge me for 10 minutes. I don't think this resolution will pass. Or we can let this fester until February 1st, and yeah, things won't be any different.
Sue, would you please call the roll?
Fritz.
I hear what you're saying, Commissioner Saltzman. I think there has been some airing of what some of the issues are. I bear some responsibility. I voted on the contract, so did you. I didn't go back and ask what was meant by the health and fitness test. I made an assumption which turned out to be incorrect, and I would like to get that changed in the next contract. Having said that, I voted for the contract, and I'm not going to vote to unilaterally rescind it because that's clearly illegal. I think it would be helpful to have more reasoned discussion over the next couple of weeks to see what can we do moving forward to recognize that this wasn't what I was intending for when I supported the concept of the fitness premium. And if there isn't anything that we can do now, having signed that contract, then what do we do moving forward? I will note that the provision is just for this contract. It doesn't roll forward. It was intended to be a pilot project. So as the commissioner in charge of wellness, I'm going to be looking at how to make lemonade out of lemons, in my opinion, as to what kind of information what has been granted can give us that may prove out to be cost effective if it provides an incentive not for fitness, because what's been put in place is not a fitness test, but it is a health and wellness test, and there may be some benefit to finding out whether a financial incentive would change behaviors so that we have lower healthcare costs, which was the intent, part of the intent of the original motion to put this health and fitness pay premium into the contract. So I do think it would be helpful to have more time, and that's why I'm going to support this motion. I share some of the concerns, many of the concerns, and yet a contract is a contract and a promise is a promise. Aye.
Saltzman.
Contract is a contract and a promise is a promise. The contract says the Bureau's health and fitness test will be administered once per year. And it was represented to us this would be based on the Oregon Physical Agilities Test used by the DPSST, the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. We've ended up instead with something that was supposed to be an select incentive to something that now any member who, you know, gets his finger pricked, gets his or her blood pressure taken, body mass index determined, at any time, you go to a QFC or a Fred Meyer pharmacy, anytime, not once a year, bingo, you've got $800 minimum added to your premium pay. And that, to me, is not what was meant by this. I believe the contract is the contract, and what we agreed to and all the legislative history leading up to it suggests that what we have now is not what was agreed to in the contract. I look forward to the discussion next week. I will vote no, because I think the discussion should go ahead, and let's have it out. But I will vote no, but we realize we'll deal with this on February 1st. No.
Leonard.
There's not many times when somebody says, let's have a discussion and have it out, that I don't agree to that. This will be one of them, that I will take you up on that offer. I think what we've allowed to have happen here today is a one-sided discussion that misrepresents not only what the contract says, but what some of our intent was when the contract was passed. I will agree to this motion later on in the discussion. I don't recall ever in my political life voting against a motion that I made, but I'm going to do that now so that we can take Commissioner Saltzman up on his offer to have a full discussion today. I think it's in the public's interest, given the one-sided nature of the discussion so far. We do have Chief Reese here. We do have Yvonne here. We do have Daryl here to have at least a discussion. We don't have to vote on this today. We can vote on it later. But I do think it's in the public interest, given what's been said up till now, for the record to be clear. No.
That was a
no.
No.
It was a no.
Thank you. Fish.
Aye, and the motion fails. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I've used the phrase mad as hell, and I think everybody knows the famous movie, I believe it won an Oscar, where Jason Robards, a news anchor, is fed up with the corporate media control of the news, and the closing sequence is he's urging everybody on camera to go to their window, raise it up, and shout, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And that's where I am today. And I hope you'll agree with me and join me in supporting this resolution. Last February, this council approved a collective bargaining agreement with the Portland Police Association. One of the clauses in that agreement called for officers to receive a 1% premium if they passed a health and fitness test, and as I said a minute ago, to be offered at a location once per year. It was our understanding and the public's understanding that officers would have to pass a test that tested their actual physical ability to do their jobs. A test similar, as I said a minute ago, to the Oregon Physical Abilities Test that the state DPSST gives recruits. It gauges one's ability to walk, climb, carry, run, pull, jump, lift, and push. We were told the premium was an incentive that would apply to a certain limited number of officers. And again, in the transcript of July 2nd, when the council voted to approve the contract, Yvonne Deckard, in explaining the contract and this provision, said the chief was real concerned about officers' fitness. So, and so as an industry standard, we noticed that a lot of Portland police, and I think there's a misword here, but a lot of Portland police force, a lot of police forces were offering fitness premiums. So we actually put in a 1% for a fitness premium where officers are eligible or required to do through a physical fitness type test. And if they were able to pass, then for that year they have a 1% premium. So that's what was told, explained to us. That's what and it's clear in the contract. That's what we voted on. And then I discovered recently, as did the public, that what was to be an incentive for a select few has now become an entitlement for every member of the police union. Now officers are eligible for the 1% premium if they show up for a simple screening. In fact, so many Bureau members have shown up, 91%, that the Bureau's premium pay budget is already in the red. This is far beyond what we estimated, or OMF estimated the cost of this contract was going to be. To my mind, the current test is laughable compared to what we passed in the contract. And it's a slap in the face to the public who is paying for this premium. And I believe it's a slap in the face to the council who was told something completely different when it approved the Portland Police Association contract. This is not what I or the public expected to occur, and I believe we should not pay a health and fitness premium until an actual physical fitness test is required. Quite frankly, I feel duped by being told one thing by two bureau directors and having agreement behind closed doors that was contrary to what I was told. I plan to make changes in the city code to ensure something like this cannot happen again. And that'll be a later action of this council, I hope. But in closing, it's just we need to speak clearly and consistently. And if we didn't understand, if the council wasn't told of all the nuances about overtime, on time, FPD and our payments, if nobody anticipated that when they were selling this to us, I mean, what is going on here? And that's what I want to know. How did we end up in a situation where something that was so clear ends up being something so different? And all the issues that have been raised, apparently, by the union about overtime, FPD and our payments on versus on time, were not anticipated until, you know, we passed this in March. I believe the union filed a grievance, and we passed in February. I think the union filed a grievance about this on March. So, I mean, why weren't all these issues thought about before? Why is this not an actual fitness test? And what is wrong with saying now as a council, the same four or five people that unanimously passed the agreement, you know, saying this is what we meant and we want what we meant. So, Yvonne, I appreciate you being here. I know you were, and I should say, you know, my anger means no disrespect to the chief, Yvonne Deckard, Daryl Turner, but I am angry about this.
Can we have Commissioner Fish, Chief Reese come forward as well?
Sure, Chief Reese, if you would come forward. And whoever would like to proceed.
I will start off because I do believe that this is my responsibility. I am the chief spokesperson for the city in all contract negotiations. And anytime that we're at the table, you know, our goal is always to get an agreement. But when the last time we were at the table with the PPA, the last time that we were at the table with the PPA, one of the things that the chief and I discussed was that he came to me and said, you know, that he'd like to actually try, have us consider implementing a health and fitness, you know, premium and program. And at our discussion were very incomplete. As the chief and I discussed this, I had not really thought about doing this or heard of doing it, so I asked him, you know, how did he envision that working? We talked about it not being at the Olympic criteria that for individuals who are on the force who get their physical activity through swimming or through running or through weightlifting or through cycling, that we could set up, you know, that type of an activity so that over the year that they would, you know, engage in and have an incentive to engage in those activities to in order to keep healthy and fit. So we knew that this was going to be a first for the city of Portland, and that it was something that we wanted to try, and that we were going to have to work out what those parameters would be. And so I then put this on the table when we were negotiating in executive sessions. I did recommend to council that we try this. I believe it was supposed to be a health and fitness program that we wanted to at least try for the life of this particular contract. Anytime we are adding new things to a contract, oftentimes how we believe that implementation will look oftentimes is not how the implementation looks. It's new. It's things that we've never done. We try to anticipate all of the things that we think we will have to put in place in order to successfully do that. As we try to actually implement, there are things that neither side thinks about in order to move forward. Give you some examples. When we negotiated health care for seasonal maintenance workers, we had an unintended consequence of those individuals or those employees losing their health care coverage under the Oregon Health Plan. And it was my job as the HR director to figure out how we actually implement that without having that unintended consequence. With pager pay, an arbitrator gave that to PPA members. How the arbitrator gave it would be very costly for the city. It was not what we anticipated. As the HR director, I'm sitting down with the Bureau and the union and trying to get the spirit of what we've agreed on implemented without looking at it in a way that is cost effective for us. The COPIA training fund, the disavows with the DCTU, the extra holiday, all of those company inspections with PFFA, all of those new provisions have oftentimes caused me to have to go back and sit with the union and the Bureau, because we may get grievances, to figure out how do we rectify that and still maintain the spirit of what we were trying to accomplish. When I first became HR director about 13 years ago, when this happened, I actually kind of did a walkthrough, and from the council members basically got the Yvonne, that is your job, go do it. And so I've never come back to the council on any of these issues. I've taken it to be that it's my responsibility to make sure that we can implement it in a way that is cost-effective, that is feasible, and that is in spirit with what it is that we are trying to accomplish and what I've said to council that we are trying to do. I looked at this fitness, at this health and fitness program and premium when we got the grievance in the same light. Some of the issues that we ran into was how do we actually implement this. If we were going, we decided we would try to do an agilities test, a fitness agilities test. So how do you implement that? We don't have a facility where we can set up and a fitness agilities test for an extended period of time to get through 1,000 people. So we actually collaborate with the Blazer Boys and Girls the Blazers Boys and Girls Club and PCC Cascade and those are the two organizations that we were working with to try to get space to even set up the program to run individuals to.
So could I interrupt there? So you're referring to a program. Did you have a specific, like a national accepted physical fitness program that you intended to have people go through?
No.
What was the program you envisioned?
What we envisioned, and I think as the chief and I talked, we talked about doing this a couple of different ways. In the end, we looked at doing a physical agilities test and an obstacle course that we felt would be similar to what officers do when they go to training.
And what is that? Chief Reese, what when you have an officer that you hire, what is it that they have to do?
We do a test of job-related skills, and so it's a obstacle course that has officers going through a cone course in a timed fashion, up and over stairs, over a hurdle, carrying or pulling a dummy to simulate an officer rescue type situation. So it's something that we test all potential police officers for, and there's a timed course that they have to beat the time to be really in a passing score. It's a pass, no pass test. So
what you envisioned was taking that test and having the officers that are members of the PPA pass that same test to get the 1%.
Correct.
And then the logistical problem was not finding a place to do it, or were there other, is that what the stumbling block was, or were there other issues?
There were a number of issues that came out when we started to look at having 1,000 people go through that type of testing process.
So what, can you go through those for us?
Some of them were the venue. We currently do in-service training at East Precinct in a classroom there, but there is no indoor space where you could set up an obstacle course. So we looked at the Powell Center and also the Boys and Girls Club, neither of which is close to East, particularly close to East Precinct. They're not adjacent to it, so you couldn't.
Is there a reason it has to be indoor?
Well, given that it's an obstacle course outdoors in like a day like today, we're currently having in-service going on right now, but being outside doing an obstacle course in this type of weather would be problematic. Particularly if you have, you know, the test itself would take probably about 5 minutes for officers to go through, but there's a period of time where you're standing in line waiting. You've got the people that are conducting the test out there all day in the elements.
You have the new training center. You could put it there, right?
We would anticipate doing those types of things at the training facility.
And is the time the same for male and female officers?
No. The time, well, initially, what we would do is the time for a male officer was set for by the Bureau for 4 minutes. For females, it would be 4.5 minutes. We know that that's a violation under ADA. I informed the Bureau of that, and we would have to set the same time, which means that in order not to have an adverse impact on our female officers, we would have to move to the 4.5 minutes. For all of our officers, and I think the Bureau's concern was that's not as much of a challenge for the male officers, but you have to balance it under ADA, and so we'd have to go with the longer time.
Since you were trying to go for a fitness, why didn't you go for something like a treadmill or the employee picks their machine, and then you measure heart rate and blood pressure beginning and end of exercising? That would be a better measurement of fitness.
Again, some of it is venue issues, and when you've got a staff that works 24/7, you've got to have testing processes. If it's going to be, it came down to the crux of the issue is whether it's on duty or off duty. If it's off duty, it's much easier for us to administer the testing process and to select the venue and have people show up and have set times. If it's on duty, to guarantee that nearly 1,000 people are going to take that type of test on duty becomes cost prohibitive.
But don't your offices have annual in-services?
They do, but for this year, the in-service had already been set. We had contracts we had signed with some of our instructors, as well as for us, some of our in-service classroom activities are mandated by state law, so we have to have officers go through it. Again, when you look at the logistics of having that many people take that test, if you pull people out of a class to take the test. They're missing part of the instruction that's going on around maybe a mandated subject. Plus, you're paying instructors to be there during in-service to administer the test, as well as the training staff that's there for the in-service. And the venue really became problematic for us when we do in-service classes at East Precinct. There is no place there to conduct an obstacle course.
But there's an East Portland Community Center is right there where they could run on a treadmill.
Again, you'd have to rent that facility, and you'd have to leave the testing. It depends on the nature of the test. If you're doing a treadmill test, it's problematic. I mean, all of these are things that we discussed as part of the negotiation process.
If I can just ask, I mean, you know, I don't want to dictate whether it's a treadmill or stuff, but it was clearly meant to be some sort of an agility test. And what I'm just mystified as how do all these issues about venue, how much time it's going to take, how come none of this was discussed as we were deliberating on this contract provision? I mean, how come none of these issues were even thought of at the time? I mean,
So I'm sorry to interrupt, but I had a line of questioning. I was trying to identify the issues before we start nitpicking apart what we think. But I actually have a process in my mind that I'd like us to try to go through to identify what the issues are. And I, like Commissioner Saltzman, don't want to second guess what the physical fitness test could be. But I will tell you, just on the place of venue, I would like to discuss that further with you privately, because I think there are some opportunities to do that if we're a little more I would just like to take the more opportunity to discuss that with you, because I think there's some solutions there. But so the venue and then the on-duty or off-duty was that an issue with the city or with the union?
Both. From the city standpoint, we believe that this would be a off-duty test. The union believed that it would be an on-duty test. Yes, it would be an on-duty. I just wanted to make sure I said that. That would be an on-duty test. When I went back and looked at our bargaining notes and looked at the discussion around it, it was ambiguous. Even though when I had the conversation with the chief and I had had the conversation with the union away from the table, what I actually described to them was the chiefs in my initial conversations about, you know, various types of activities. And clearly, if people were engaged in a fitness activity for an extended period of time, like swimming, biking, hiking, whatever that is, then clearly that would be on their on the employee's time.
Getting in shape, but the issue here is 4.5 minutes. So if you had an in-service, and I'm just going to add, I mean, this is an unusual forum in which to have this discussion, as Commissioner Fish alluded to. We'd normally do this in executive session, but I'm going to say things here. Normally we'd talk about privately, but if the issue is having officers go through a 4.5 minute test, a predefined test, and it's pass fail, I've participated in exactly that kind of a test, and it literally just takes as long as it takes for you to get there, go through it, and leave. So I'm assuming if we could identify a venue. And I'm assuming if we could marry that up with an in-service time, we might be able to get over whether it was off-duty or on-duty, if it was a compressed period. I'm not talking about preparing oneself by we're not going to pay people to work out to get ready. I agree with you on that. But the test itself, I don't find it completely unreasonable for the union to say, you know, this is a collective bargaining agreement that requires a certain level of fitness, and we just as all of our other in-service requirements, whether it's shooting or whatever, we are tested on duty. I don't find it completely irrational to suggest that maybe the test shouldn't be on duty. And I'm not sure if we identify where that happens and the amount of time it takes, it would be that much of a burden on us. Am I reading that wrong?
Well, I think the chief is right. We were having a problem coming up with the venue. Their in-service contracts had already been signed. They already had those classes and things that were state mandated. in place. And so it became a logistical nightmare for the Bureau to try to figure out how to do this for the first year.
Understood, but
for the first year.
Remember, I'm what I'm suggesting to you is let's just say hypothetically, if you were able to identify the venue, so you were comfortable with the venue, and you married that up with whatever the in service was, the amount of time that it sounds like it would take for an officer to get through the test wouldn't be enough for us to say we insist that it happen off duty. I'm assuming that we'd be okay with that.
If we could work that out, we would have been okay with it. You know, when you are, so we would have to come up with a window broad enough in order to not have officers coming in and just waiting in order to do it. And
understood.
So when we got into those discussions about, you know, the actual test being 4.5 minutes, but people getting there, getting ready, getting prepared, that 4.5 minutes for the actual time that the officer was there stretched out. And under the, you know, police contract and how overtime is paid, and the union is in taking the position that this would be overtime, it would add a considerable amount of a financial burden to the police bureau's budget.
If we paid them overtime.
If we paid them overtime. And because we were having problems working through the overtime issue coupled with the logistics issue, I then at that point looked back at the contract and understood that what we had asked the union and the city and the council to ratify was a health and fitness, you know, test or program, and so looked at how do we, maybe we needed to take more of a health issue, you know, approach rather than a fitness approach, at least for the first year, because of some of those inherent problems that we did not anticipate would occur. And that's how we got into the type of test and the type of program that we have, which is still once a year. The officers go in a window, you know, of time between July and September, and they do their baseline.
And the reason that you chose that was just for the two reasons you just articulated, the lack of a venue and whether it was on duty or off duty. Were there other issues that drove that decision?
Well, the running the testing process over the course, for us to go like for in-service training, that runs for several months. So we have, right now, our operations branch personnel are going through in-service for several months. And then once that is completed, then investigators go through their in-service.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about venues that are set up for and testing personnel for maybe 6 months or 7 months.
So again, it's more of a venue question.
And the personnel there to do the testing as
well. So when an officer is on second nights, for an example, works all night long,
mm-hmm.
and they have to do in service, how do you schedule that?
We adjust their schedule for that in service week.
So we could, so theoretically, if we could address the venue issue and the scheduling issue, you could theoretically, and you have officers marry up this, originally envisioned with that, and just have it scheduled with whenever they do their in-service.
That would be helpful, but again, when we were in discussions with the PPA, and we're talking about guaranteeing that 1,000 people or nearly 1,000 are going to do this on duty. You have officers that miss in-service training for court or vacation, they don't show up for their scheduled in-service.
Is that our problem?
I mean, we would still own it.
Why would we own it if they didn't pass the physical fitness program as defined by
didn't elect to take it?
Why is that? Why would that be our problem?
If they're not electing to take it because they have court duty, that I would imagine the PPA would argue that that wasn't an election.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying, why couldn't we then reschedule it so that it fit their schedule on duty?
Again, you're getting into the logistics, the nuts and bolts of it. If that person, we've adjusted their schedule to work second nights.
Right.
And from second nights, they're working day shift for in-service. They missed the physical fitness portion of in-service. They want to take the test, but they're working second nights. So do we set up then for
What happens when people miss an in-service because of court? Do you reschedule the in-service?
It depends on what they miss. There are mandated classes that they have to be at and take, and so those mandated ones we do reschedule.
So what? How do you when they miss the previously scheduled one that you expected them to be to, and at the last minute they couldn't go?
We would readjust their schedule.
So why couldn't we include this as part of that?
You could. It depends on
the venue.
Yeah, the right. Venue, and then having the personnel there to actually do the test.
Right.
Because you've got the instructors. Maybe teaching a bloodborne pathogens class,
right.
And then you're pulling people out of that class to go do their physical fitness testing because you don't want 30 officers standing watching one person do the test and
right.
30 people in line. You would want them to be going through some of their training,
right.
So you're pulling them out for that. So you've got training components for one class and then training components for the
physical fitness test.
Having
an officer with a stopwatch. Go, and then when they're done, stop. That's what you need, right?
It takes, actually, when we do it for new recruits, our personnel division probably has several people there monitoring the test.
For new, I understand, but for existing, because the fire does this, mm-hmm. with existing, they literally have one person with a stopwatch stop. For existing, new, they have a number of people. But
yeah, I'm not sure how many personnel it would take, but...
And I think, Commissioner, a lot of what you're saying hits the nail on the head. You know, how once we actually started trying to figure out how to do 1,000 people and not have a venue that is constantly set up to do it and having people, the right amount of people there with the stopwatch to actually do the test, it became logistically very difficult to figure it out, and then to try to gauge what the impact of that would be on the mandatory in services, as well as the overtime cost, we were struggling with how to figure this out without having a training center where this, you know, where you actually have the venue in order to do it.
Understood, but I would like to follow this conversation up with
sure.
a private conversation because I have some thoughts that
okay.
might be helpful to get over this because I don't think anybody on the council disagrees that the more optimum interpretation of this provision would have been to do what you envisioned to have happen.
Right.
Having said that, I absolutely understand the logistical issues you're dealing with and the some of the challenges to get it done, but I have some thoughts on how we might be able to do that that I'd like to discuss with you before we
okay.
vote on this, because it would be nice if we had in this forum not just an opportunity to people to be mad as hell, but to actually have a solution that people can agree to.
So could I just ask a question on that? Because it's my understanding there's a memorandum of agreement and agreement settlement, which was signed in June, which specified health and fitness test means.
Right.
So I don't know that we can change what that means.
We can't this year probably, but when does the contract expire?
So we had a testing window, which was this past summer because this premium was only for the last 2 years of the contract. And so we are paying it for this year. The contract expires our testing window for the last year for the premium is actually in April of this year, and that will determine who's eligible to actually receive the premium, for next fiscal year.
So there is a requalification test to
yes.
get another 1% premium in the last year of the contract.
Yes, and with the taking the wellness approach, the first year was to set the baseline, and we that's what the premium was paid for. And when we gave you the numbers, what I said was that HR had believed that 70% of the officers would pass. The budget office gave you a number of 100%. And so the number that we gave the council was about $468,000. The budget office gave the council a number of a $690,000. 91% actually took it, for which totaled $608,000. So the cost that we've actually paid in the premium is within the number that we had given council. Now, the second year, in order for them to actually receive the premium, they have to pass 3 out of the 4 categories in order for them to maintain that premium. And looking at the numbers in the baseline for this year that in establishing the first piece, we know that that there is a pretty high percentage of the officers that would not, well, they are actually having to engage in some type of wellness and fitness in order to be able to qualify for the next one.
I was just saying, in the spirit of Commissioner Leonard's question, though, there's a possibility we could come back and maybe address test you take for year 2.
It's in the memorandum of understanding, but the concern I have is that there was no need to do a baseline because it's the second year isn't predicated on improving over baseline, it's a set of standards. So we could have set a set of standards and said you either pass it or you don't this year.
And we could have done that, and what our goal was to actually try to mitigate our cost, reach agreement, not create exposure to our FPDNR, and so not knowing what the baseline information was going to show us, we believe that that was a better approach. We know that if anyone is injured, doing the test, that is a active duty.
But it's not an active test. So it's blood pressure and get your weight taken. So there's no potential for getting injured during the test.
I was going back to what we were trying to do, but when we were looking at the agilities test and why, and so when we moved
right,
to this,
that would have made sense.
Right, and so when we moved to this, we wanted to get the baseline, and we actually mitigated that out, and so we had officers on their own time to do their baseline with the second year of them having to pass 3 of the 4 categories.
How many of the officers voluntarily took the same tests under the city's wellness program?
We did not. No one.
No police officers took the city's wellness test?
We didn't do the city's wellness test this year.
No, and the citywide employees
can. We didn't do the citywide employee wellness test this year. That ended last year.
How many? Well, that's what I'm interested in. How
many
police officers?
Last year, how many officers did it? That percentage was very low. We didn't have much participation from that particular group.
Thank you.
So, Vaughn, I have a few questions, if I could. I appreciate that this is a somewhat unprecedented proceeding, and I want to be respectful because there are issues which we are instructed by the city attorney's office to reserve for executive session. And when it comes to the performance of people to whom we've delegated our responsibilities to handle certain functions, I am loath to have those discussions in the nature of performance evaluations in a public setting like this. I don't think it's respectful to anyone involved. But I want to just establish some ground rules. First of all, as I understand the city code, we have delegated to you the authority to interpret and enforce collective bargaining agreements. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I'm referring to City Code Section 3.15.050.
Correct.
And there's a specific carve-out in that particular part of our code that allows individual commissioners to handle specific grievances and adjudicate grievances and complaints. But as a general practice, the code contemplates we delegate to you interpretation and enforcement of a collective bargaining agreement. Is that correct?
Yes.
And now, each commissioner is entitled to weigh in on any issue that comes up. I've learned that in my first 3 years. We have rules, but those rules are superseded, I guess, by whatever an individual commissioner wants to do within reason. So in this particular case of the provision in the contract which we negotiated, which is Clause 65.4, which deals with physical fitness, did any member of the council ask you to come and brief them after it was negotiated as to the implementation plan?
No.
Did any member of the council ask you to give a report about the implementation plan?
No.
Okay.
Can I follow up with a question there?
Sure.
Do you feel an obligation when something that we negotiate that appears to be black and white and turns out to be very different and is going to cost more. Do you feel an obligation to come make the rounds or have an executive session on something like that where it costs?
I would not have called an executive session, and I would feel an obligation to talk with the mayor about this because it's the police contract and it's the police budget. I feel like a number of the examples that if I knew that a particular office had a particular interest in something that I needed to take a different approach in implementing, then I would probably go to that individual office. But I would not have necessarily, made my rounds. So, for example, Commissioner, I know that whereas drug testing has been extremely important to this entire council, it has been particularly important to you. And I think that I have had discussions with you about where we are with it, but I've not necessarily done that with the other offices.
Reclaiming my time, if I could, I mean, I'll give you another example to that because I think it's an important point to make on the record. Through my exercise of my responsibilities under the charter and the code, I've had occasion to talk to you about our policies about sexual harassment. And we've talked about ways of strengthening our policies and strengthening our protocols and our training. And frankly, I'll just say that I have a particular interest in that subject matter because of my prior professional work and because of what I've learned in my capacity as the commissioner in charge of a bureau. It was not my expectation, though, that you would be briefing each member of the council about my concerns about our policy or the things I've proposed until such time as it became a matter of council discussion and debate. But getting back to, we have, the code clearly delegates to you authority to interpret and enforce our collective bargaining rights. So, Chief, the question I have for you is, what has been your role in the preparation of the resolution that's before us today?
I don't think I had any role in preparing it.
Well, were you consulted about the issue and the potential solutions that we might pursue to address the concerns that my colleague has?
Commissioner Saltzman called me and indicated that he was upset about the testing, the physical fitness testing and biometric screening, and that he was filing a resolution. I appreciated his calling me to let me know that.
Do either of you know whether our city attorney and the lawyers that advise us on these matters have been brought in to both opine on the resolution or to lay out options for the council to consider?
I don't have any knowledge or information of that.
Now, Yvonne, I'm going back to the last set of collective bargaining negotiations that we had. My recollection is that when it came time to discuss specific proposals, specific strategy, to discuss the legal risk of our position and the potential consequences, intended or otherwise, we normally had those discussions in executive session. Is that correct?
Correct.
Now, a specific part of the resolution that got my attention when I read it for the first time yesterday is the last resolve clause, which calls on the council to rescind a particular benefit that's in the agreement. I'm just going to ask you as a general matter, does the council have the authority to unilaterally rescind a benefit it has negotiated?
No, not once it's been ratified.
And this contract's been ratified?
Yes.
Is there a provision in this contract which gives the council the discretion unilaterally to reopen the contract to discuss any item it may have, it may wish to discuss with the union?
No.
All right. Is the process of reopening a clause subject, can it only occur when there's two willing parties?
Correct.
So you can go to our friends, any of our labor partners, and say, would you willingly sit down and renegotiate? But absent that and absent a reopener, we can't compel that outcome. Is that correct?
Correct.
What is the potential risk to the city of unilaterally rescinding a term of a contract that it has negotiated and has been ratified?
The union could file a ULP and ask the Employee Relations Board for damages to be assessed against the city for not honoring the contract or following the contract.
I'm going to confess that while I followed this issue pretty closely during
our council discussions many months ago. Until I saw the provisions of the collective bargaining agreement, the language, I don't remember really having a deep understanding of the specific language. So I went back and pulled paragraph 65.4. Does the phrase physical fitness test appear in the language of the contract?
I don't believe so.
All right, and I couldn't find it. And was this language part of a contract that was brought back to council for approval prior to ratification?
Yes.
So after we authorized you to negotiate a contract, were the specific terms of that contract